Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan on this World Refugee Day, June 20th, 2024. The head of the UN Refugee Agency calls on people displaced by conflict to be self-reliant.
They're fleeing a horrible violence, very severe violations of human rights, but increasingly they're also fleeing deprivation, and in particular food insecurity and in some cases hunger.
And some refugees in South Sudan's capital Juba say security forces are harassing them. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. World Refugee Day is an international day designated by the United Nations to honor refugees around the world. It falls each year on June 20 and celebrates the strength and courage of people who have been forced to flee their home country to escape conflict or persecution. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, is marking the World Refugee Day in South Sudan, where he has been traveling this week, highlighting the situation of millions of people displaced by war. VOA United Nations correspondent Margaret Bashar spoke to him from New York and has this story.
Sudan's war has triggered one of the largest displacement crises on the planet, according to the United Nations. It broke out in April 2023 between two rival generals and has pushed internal displacement to nearly 10 million people and driven 2 million more to seek safety in neighboring countries. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, met some of the displaced this week in Kosti, in the southern part of Sudan.
They're fleeing a horrible violence, very severe violations of human rights, but increasingly they're also fleeing deprivation, and in particular food insecurity and in some cases hunger. So you have a multiplication of factors that are all generated clearly by this insane war that doesn't seem to end.
In South Sudan, the UN Refugee Agency is working to assist them. But humanitarian aid is only a short-term solution. Peace is what is needed, he said. Again, UN Refugee Chief Filippo Grandi.
My appeal is really to everybody who has any influence on the parties in this conflict. Push them not towards the battlefield, but to the negotiating table.
Elsewhere in Africa, the effects of the climate crisis are driving displacement, forcing people to move, especially when coupled with conflicts. Again, UN Refugee Chief Filippo Grandi.
And there, what happens is that climate becomes a cause of conflict. It deprives very poor communities living together of basic resources, water, for example. The communities start fighting, and this generates displacement.
Globally, the numbers of displaced people, refugees, and asylum seekers have been increasing over the last 12 years to a staggering 120 million. Ukraine, Syria, and Afghanistan account for just over half of all forcibly displaced persons. Filippo Grandi.
This tragic progression, we just continue. If at least some of these conflicts are not resolved and the conditions for people to return, which is still the best solution, are not created. This is the big challenge.
Grandi warns that it will be difficult for an increasingly divided world to meet growing global challenges. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
Refugees in South Sudan are calling for protection and access to documents on time. They say the South Sudanese Immigration Department normally arrests them despite showing the refugee cards. UNHCR Chief Filippo Grandi urges refugees in South Sudan to be self-reliant. Dennis Longoni reports for VOA from Juba.
On this World Refugee Day, some stateless refugees are appealing to the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, UNHCR, and South Sudanese authorities to protect them from corrupt immigration officers. 38-year-old Fitsum Degife says he escaped persecution from Eritrea after he crossed into South Sudan, where the UN Refugee Agency granted him asylum. But he says South Sudan security officers are harassing urban refugees like him who live in Juba.
Because the Eritrean and Ethiopian embassy rejected any type of document. So luckily I got documents from the UNHCR, the full status ID and the travel documents. But still I'm suffering. And I have reported one incident also to the CRA and UNHCR, that the CID took my papers and they told me to pay for alarms, fingerprint and work permits.
37-year-old Sagabu Tiame, who lives in Kator suburb of Juba town, says she has lived in South Sudan for 10 years. She says South Sudanese are very kind to refugees, but it's the immigration officers who are harassing foreigners in Juba.
Before, I'm still like to not be, even now. But when the immigration starting, you know, the problem. Even I told so many immigration, me, I don't spoil South Sudan name because I know this country before. I'm still without paper. You know, all countries, they need even taxation. I know, like a foreigner, if you go anywhere, when you stay foreigner, they need what you call a visa, everything. But South Sudan, they are respect, give chance to stay here.
Semere Hudush is the chairperson of the Eritrean refugees living in South Sudan. He is calling on UNHCR to process identification cards, travel permits and other refugee documents.
Me, I apply, or the community leaders apply to the office in order to get chairperson ID card. If people, they arrest, for example, on the police, when you go to release, to discuss with them, who are you? I'm the community leader, chairperson for Eritrea. Where is your ID? I don't know. This is the big challenge. People, they have got travel document, but not for all the people.
Roman Gilanenia became a refugee after the conflict in Tigray, Ethiopia. She traveled to South Sudan, where she became a translator with the United Nations Peacekeeping Mission. She says she and dozens of colleagues could not return to Tigray.
We are 80, so if one gets job, for example, we help to each other. But, you know, most of the refugees who were with me do not have any job. They are suffering. I want to convey my message to the refugees. We have to thank the people of South Sudan and the government of South Sudan. This is the first thing, because we are surviving here.
UNHCR Chief Filippo Grandi today visited the Jamjam refugee camp in the Ruang administrative area, where he urged refugees to be self-reliant.
I came to Jamjam because here people, refugees, over the years have been given opportunity. They were given land, and many families, as we heard, can farm. So I want to encourage you even to do even more in that direction. We heard very clearly the message of the refugee representative. Yes, the World Food Program has reduced the assistance, and maybe other organizations too. The problem is that humanitarian funding is very short these days. I want to encourage the government of Sudan and my own colleagues and all our partners to do more to make people self-reliant.
According to UNHCR, South Sudan hosts 330,000 refugees and asylum seekers, mainly from Sudan, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Democratic Republic of Congo, and Burundi. For VOA News, I'm Dennis Logonye reporting from Juba.
Still in Juba, refugees living near the South Sudan's capital say they lack services at Gorom refugee camp. The UN Refugee Agency says funding gap has affected some social services to Sudanese and Ethiopian refugees living in South Sudan. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Gorom refugee camp near the South Sudan's capital, Juba.
Many Sudanese refugees are marking this World Refugee Day at Gorom refugee camp near Juba. Refugee Tandil Ali Babakir says living conditions have deteriorated significantly since they arrived at the camp a year ago.
The living condition here in the camp is very bad. From the side of Helen, I am here with my family and we are suffering. We are 10 in family and what we get is not enough. It is only enough for a week. And not for a month. 23,000 a month is not enough.
Fighting broke out in Khartoum in April 2023 between the Sudan Armed Forces, led by General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, and the paramilitary group Rapid Support Forces under General Mohamed Abdan Dagalo. The fighting has displaced some 10 million people, including around 1.9 million in neighboring countries. Ali Babeker says, aside from the lack of food and health services, her education has been shattered.
I am a university student. Because of war, I came here to Gorom. I am not able to continue with my education. And I have 6 months without any education. I am a second year student in the College of Medicine, and I could not find opportunity to resume my studies.
Ibrahim Zakaria, another refugee student, says there are no secondary schools in the camp, and schools in Juba are too far away to attend.
The most challenging things that, you know, I face or I'm facing in the refugee camp here, only about the education. Since I came, I tried my best so as to get my education level, but I didn't. Right now, I didn't get anything because there is no secondary school here. We have only primary school. I was in secondary too. I stopped there because of war. If there was no war, I think I would have right now done something.
Juliette Mirekeisoni is the deputy country representative for the United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR. Mirekeisoni says the refugee agency is struggling with funding issues to meet the needs of the refugees, but encourages them to focus on livelihood activities to sustain their families.
Indeed, the services are limited, but that does not mean that we keep quiet. As you see here, we continue knocking on doors of donors, looking at the possibility to continue to support you here in a refugee camp, not only here in South Sudan, worldwide. Let's work together. We have to think outside the box. How can we make our life better?
Dud Akol, the Director General at the South Sudan Commission for Refugee Affairs, says the government is working with UNHCR to ensure that all refugees in the country are safe and as comfortable as possible.
As the people of South Sudan, we don't have much, but we want the refugees to access our national health facilities in Juba, in Yambio, in Maban, in any of the areas that are hosting refugees. For the livelihood activities, we would like to provide more land to the refugees. Currently, we are giving 15,000. That will increase to 50,000 acres to all the refugee hosting areas.
Akol says South Sudan is a home to over 460,000 refugees from Sudan, Ethiopia, Democratic Republic of Congo, and Burundi. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayer in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, funding cuts affect refugees across the world. Find out why after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. This month, the Norwegian Refugee Council's director said, quote, the utter neglect of displaced people has become the new normal, end of quote. With crises across Africa, in Sudan, Somalia, the Sahel, and the Democratic Republic of Congo seeing funding far below what nonprofits say is needed. Henry Wilkins speaks to refugees and nonprofit on how the lack of funding is having devastating consequences.
The UN says about 117 million people were forcibly displaced in 2023, making it the 12th straight year that the number has risen. This month, Jan Egeland, the head of the Norwegian Refugee Council, or NRC, said the utter neglect of displaced people has become the new normal. The NRC says Burkina Faso has more than 2 million displaced people, making it one of the most neglected displacement crises in the world. Fatimata Pasako, a mother of nine, fled northern Burkina Faso 5 years ago and says support has diminished since then.
In the past, we were registered by the government, but we received no support from them. A few charitable organizations helped us, but their support has diminished significantly, and now they come only occasionally.
One senior humanitarian told VOA that the sheer number of global crises are sapping the political will to solve them.
Well, it's true that funding for humanitarian work has increased over the years. It's also true that the numbers of people in need of humanitarian assistance have grown significantly faster than the sector's ability to reach them.
Situations like Pasako's are especially worrying, says Kieran Donnelly.
So basically, these people are stuck. They're effectively warehoused, which is an awful term to use when talking about people. But that's one area in which we just don't see any real investment in finding solutions.
Will Carter is the Sudan country director for the Norwegian Refugee Council.
Never have I known such a miserly funding environment, which has led to sort of pretty, awful service coverage for people who are starving. And never have I seen such a level of diplomatic and, to an extent, media neglect over some horrendous crises.
Pasako says she understands the funding problems and prays for the conflict to end.
The international community is concerned about our situation. While Burkina Faso's conflict continues, I understand it is not easy for them either. I pray for the conflict to end so that I can return to my village.
Like millions of other refugees, all she wants to do is return home. Henry Wilkins, VOA News.
Employees at government institutions in Eastern Equatorial State Capital Torit have deserted their workstations due to salary delays. So some senior government officials say they are unable to work because most of their support staff are busy looking for other means of survival. For VOA News, Kaltuma Vanessa reports from Torit.
Jennifer Nabongorika Edward, State Minister of Gender, Child and Social Welfare in Eastern Equatorial State, says state government employees who have not received the salaries for months have decided to look for other jobs.
You found that sometimes the staffs don't turn up due to this delay of salaries, and has affected activities not going on well. You want to do this, the staff is not there. Why? They go for hustling, because they cannot also stay in one place while their families are suffering. So as the minister, sometimes you become also voiceless because you cannot force someone to stay in the ministry, and at the end of the day, he or she expects the family to eat something.
David Lino Lochomoy, a community leader in Budi County, says most young men and women in Budi have deserted county offices and are busy looking for casual jobs to help them support their families.
Some of them, they start even left the work of the government. They start doing their own activities. They do businesses. Others go for mining. Others go for agriculture. And others, sometimes they even become notorious. They rob people in their homes, in the street, even the ambushes. These are all the effects of the delay of the government.
Agnes Florence Odwar, the State Minister of Labour, says the conflict in Sudan has affected oil production in South Sudan, paralyzing the country's major source of revenue.
The situation is bad, just let me tell you. The situation is bad. People are just dying silently in their houses. There is no way out. Even if we make a strike, even if we complain, there will be no answer. Of course, we have heard several times from the national government that there is no money. The government is bankrupt. There is no selling of petrol because of the war in Sudan.
She says civil servants are wondering about their next course of action as the government continues to delay paying them. She says most of them planning on working until retirement age at 65. But now they can't survive and the government is not addressing the problem. Odwar says government institutions will soon collapse due to lack of support, and she calls on the national government and international aid agencies to support South Sudanese workers. Since the country's gained independence in 2011, millions of South Sudanese are still in need of humanitarian assistance. Nationwide, thousands of civil servants, including teachers and university staff, have complained this year of going unpaid for months. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa, reporting from Torit, Eastern Equatorial State.
From Torit, we move to Yambio, where residents of Western Equatorial State capital Yambio say health services has improved in the town compared to last year, when the town hospital was struggling to offer services to patients. The administrator of Yambio Hospital says the National Ministry of Health responded to calls for help. Mattia Samuel Timoteo has more for VOA from Yambio.
Some residents of Western Equatorial State capital Yambio say they can now access services at the town's hospital that has been struggling with lack of medicine and trained medical personnel. Rejoice Kamis is one of the residents who visited the hospital this week. She says she has seen changes at Yambio Hospital.
My child had no blood. It was only 3.0. But when we reached the hospital, the doctors had to admit him and started treating him. Blood was immediately donated to him for the time we have spent here. The doctors are supervising his condition day and night. I really appreciate their effort. That is why my child is now alive. If not because of them, he could have died since. His treatment has never one day missed.
The Yambio State Hospital Administrator John Peter Sangana confirmed to this program that there has been difficulties in the previous times, but currently the hospital is operating very well without any problem because they managed to receive some consignment from the national government, which has enabled them to work.
So as per now, at least most of the departments are getting some services. A month ago, we also received some supplies from the national government, and then support also from CMB, the malaria drugs, all that one. The key areas, that is maternity, and then pediatric, that is the children's ward, and then operation room. At least the services are going, even in the lab. At least we have received some reagents, though it is not 100%. At least there is a basic service on the ground.
Christine Ayobo, one of the beneficiaries of Yambio Hospital, says her son needed blood and hospital nurses and doctors took good care of him.
My child had no blood. It was only 3.0. But when we reached the hospital, the doctors had to admit him and started treating him. Blood was immediately donated to him for the time we have spent here. The doctors are supervising his condition day and night. I really appreciate their effort. That is why my child is now alive.
The hospital's administrator says last year the only ambulance at Yambio Hospital broke down, power generators had no fuel, and the services in the theater, maternity, and pediatric wards were limited. John says he can see remarkable improvement at the hospital this year.
In the maternity also, at least there is improvement in the delivery, so the number is increasing. So at least in the hospital, there is a 1-2-3 movement.
He, however, encouraged the community of Yambio and Western Equatorial State to stop listening to misinformation about the hospital and take up for the health services whenever they are unhealthy. Earlier this year, Western Equatorial Health Minister James Abdallah said Yambio Hospital was grappling with their shortage of staff to attend to the increasing number of patients diagnosed with diarrhea and malaria. For VOA News, I am Matthias Samuel Timatio in Yambio.
From Yambio, we move back to the United States. 2 years ago this month, the U.S. Supreme Court made a decision that impacted the nation's political landscape, reversing its 1973 ruling that legalized abortion. Now, abortion looms as a major issue in this year's elections. VOA's senior Washington correspondent Caroline Presutti takes a look at how the issue is charging the presidential campaign.
June 24, 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court reverses the ruling that made abortion legal and leaves the issue up to the states. Since then, 21 states have passed laws to limit abortions. At a recent Donald Trump rally, a man dressed in red, white, and blue with matching sunglasses stands in the middle of the street, waving a huge flag as cars pass by. Tracy Russo and her daughter stand on the sidewalk, dressed in T-shirts promoting Trump.
I'm pro-life, but I think people should have a right if they want it to be early and to be done safely and with exceptions for the birth, you know, of a baby or a mother. But it should be up to the states.
A new Gallup poll shows the Dobbs decision galvanized single-issue voters 2 years ago and continues to do so. Lydia Saad, the director of U.S. Social Research at Gallup, spoke on Zoom.
We see a record high now, 32% of the electorate saying they'll only vote for a candidate who shares their views on the issue. But again, that hasn't really changed among Republicans and independents. That stayed absolutely steady at about 20, 22%. It's Democrats who have really surged.
One of those voters is Jaden D'Onofrio.
We've seen that the right to choice and recreational marijuana are critical to the beliefs and importance of youth voters and what's top of mind for them, especially with the right to choice.
In May, D'Onofrio's state of Florida enacted one of the most restrictive state laws, making abortion illegal after 6 weeks of pregnancy. President Joe Biden called the current patchwork of laws chaos.
It shouldn't matter where in America you live. This isn't about states' rights, it's about women's rights. The person most responsible for taking away this freedom in America is Donald Trump.
President Biden has his own complicated views of abortion relating to his Catholic faith.
You have such an impression on my family.
Last week, he met with the Pope at the Vatican. The church teaches abortion as immoral. But Catholics are divided on the issue.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint.
Former President Donald Trump takes credit for the Supreme Court decision that outlawed abortion on a national level.
You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently and very sadly a nation in decline.
Saad from Gallup says it will be interesting to see whether the Supreme Court decision will change votes in November or simply motivate people to go out and vote. Carolyn Presutti, VOA News.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday, June 20th, 2024. We now leave you with the song Zawango by Afrigo. Been listening to Afrigo and the song Zawango. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer Kwame Ofori and engineer Peter Hindley, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.